Good morning, Pleasant Grove. Welcome to our worship service this morning. Before we begin, I'd like to announce a new song that Lauren Hancox has written for us. It's on our music and poetry page on our website. So tune in and hear the new creation there. Title of the message this morning is The Scriptural Argument. And the scripture is Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. Verse 12. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will take charge of this worship this morning. Pray that he will anoint my lips, and only your truth will come through to everyone with open hearts and minds this morning. Own this service. I just pray, Lord, that as we delve into your word this morning by this scripture written by Apostle Paul, that we come away with a new learning about how important your word is in interpreting what your Bible would have us learn. Thank you for another opportunity to come together, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The 60 verses that make up Galatians chapter 3 and 4 are some of the strongest writing that Paul ever penned. He uses six different arguments to prove that God saves sinners through faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Last week, Brother John began the personal argument in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where Paul asked the Galatians to recall their personal experience with Christ when they were saved. For example, he asked, "Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" Today, we'll examine some Old Testament scriptures that argue that we are saved by grace in Jesus Christ. We have said before how important God's word becomes as we try to interpret its meaning. For example, the value of cross-referencing cannot be overemphasized. Stay with me as we consider how Paul beats the Judaizers at their own game by arguing the gospel of faith without works with the help of Old Testament scripture. The first verse is found in verse 6, Let me read the passage from Genesis, starting in verse 15, verses 1 through 6. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Consider Abraham. The Judaizers were using the law of Moses as an example of what they were doing. Paul goes further back in the time of the patriarchs and the father of the Jewish faith, Abraham, to argue how he became right with God. Let's try to get this picture. Here's Abraham, who is an old man. His wife Sarah is well beyond childbearing age. And God says to him that he's going to have a son, an heir. He takes him outside and has him look at the stars in heaven. Can you count them? Abraham says that's impossible. God says, As the stars are in heaven, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to his righteousness. Question. Was Abraham credited with a right standing before God because he was circumcised? No, he wasn't circumcised until 14 years after this event in Genesis chapter 17. Question, was Abraham put in a right standing before God because he obeyed the law? No, the law wasn't given for 430 years after this event. Abraham was the father of them all, and there is a direct link between what Abraham believed and Christianity today. Abraham was justified because he came to the position in his own life and realized he was unable to do anything to put himself in a right relationship with God, that he must humbly depend upon God. The gospel that Abraham believed was certainly not the full gospel of the grace of God that we preach today. Even the apostles did not fully understand the meaning of Christ's death until it was explained to them. The gospel Abraham believed was the good news that God would bless Abraham and make him a mighty nation. Abraham believed this promise, and his faith was credited to his account. When the sinner trusts Christ, God's righteousness is put to his account. The blessing that was credited to Abraham and those who succeeded him was the blessing of being put in a right relationship with God, the blessing of receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the means by which that took place then and now was by grace. The Jewish people were very proud of their relationship with Abraham. The trouble was, they thought that this relationship guaranteed them eternal salvation. Jesus made a clear distinction between Abraham's seed, physically, and Abraham's children, spiritually. Some people today still imagine that salvation is inherited. Just because mother and father are godly people, the children are automatically saved. It has been said, God has no grandchildren. Let me run that by you again. God has no grandchildren. Our second Old Testament verse is found in verse 8, Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What does this verse help us to understand? This salvation is for the Gentiles. Paul's quotation of Moses proves that from the beginning of Abraham's relationship with God, the blessing of salvation was promised to all the nations of the world. The argument is clear. If God promises to save the Gentiles by faith, the Judaizers are wrong in wanting to take Gentile believers back into the law. The true children of Abraham are not the Jews by physical descent, but Jews and Gentiles who have believed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that promised seed through whom all nations have been blessed. The Apostle John speaks of this in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 54 through 56. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing." Now this is Jesus speaking, the Son of God, himself. "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word." And listen to this. "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Let me read verse 56 again. "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." The third Old Testament verse is found in verse 10 in Galatians, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. "Cursed is the man who does not uphold the words of the law by carrying them out." What do we learn here? That it's impossible to be saved by obeying the law. Salvation could never come by obedience to the law, because the law brings a curse, not a blessing. Law demands obedience, and this means obedience in all things. Let me read a couple verses from the Epistle of James, the brother of Jesus. James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Man is born with a sinful nature. Our fourth verse is found in verse 11, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by his faith. Another Old Testament verse, arguing that salvation is by faith, not law. Nobody could ever live by law because the law kills and shows the sinner he is guilty before God. Paul says elsewhere in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Our fifth Old Testament verse is found in verse 12, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5. "Keep my decrees and laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them. I am the Lord." Someone might argue that it takes faith even to obey the law. So Paul quotes Leviticus to prove that it is doing the law, not believing it, that God requires. The law says, "Do and live." But grace says, "Believe and live." Once again, it is impossible to obey all the law. Therefore, the law cannot save us. Our final Old Testament verse is Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. And it's found in verse 13 in our scripture today. "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." This verse summarizes this passage. By dying on the cross, Jesus Christ bore the curse of the law for us, so that now the believer is no longer under the law and its awful curse. The blessing of Abraham, that justification by faith and the gift of the Spirit, is now ours through faith in Jesus Christ. In closing, those who claim acceptance to God along the road of works are going to find the bridge is out a little ways ahead. God is coming to us this morning and saying to our hearts, "How long is it going to take for you to come to the conclusion that the bridge is out a mile ahead and there is no entry along this road? You are on one of those dead-end streets Solomon spoke of in our study of Ecclesiastes. We might be an upright, law-abiding member of the local church, morally sound, compared to others, a good man. We might assume that all this work and dedication is what takes us and gets us over the threshold. The answer is, there is not a chance for you. You are on a dead-end street. No one will be justified and in right standing with God through outward observances. It's quite simple, really. Paul is saying, since no one apart from Jesus has perfectly kept the law, those who attempt to keep the law with fault are under a curse. Who's under the curse? Just the irreligious and immoral? No. Also, the religious and nice guys of the world. We haven't loved God with all our hearts. We haven't loved our neighbors as ourselves. We haven't killed anyone, but we've damaged them with our tongues. And we are lawbreakers this morning. The bridge is out. We've got a problem. We have a greater problem if what we experience as religious instruction keeps on telling us that our only hope is to rebuild the bridge. Brother Joe and Brother John have done a great job pointing out some of that kind of false teaching. Are you worshiping this morning to put another brick in the bridge? Now, Paul brings us the good news in verses 13 and 14. Jesus Christ has built a bridge. He has done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Let me read verse 14. He, Jesus, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. It was in Jesus Christ that God acted for our salvation, and it is by being placed in Christ Jesus that we can receive that same salvation. The blessing, what blessing? The blessing that guilty sinners are put in a right standing with God. The blessing to us through faith in Christ. Blessing to us through faith in Christ. These are the essentials of the gospel. To us in Christ who do what? Receive the promise of the Spirit. Yes, we need to individually come to the Lord Jesus. Acknowledge that the bridge is out and we've been guilty of single-handedly trying to fix the bridge. The implications are clear. There are two roads and two destinations. One road is marked observing the law. That bridge is out. The other road is marked by faith in Christ, and it's a one-way bridge. Jesus gives us a great illustration of this in Luke chapter 18 with his parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. But to some who were confident of their own righteousness, in other words, building their own bridge, and looked down on everyone else who weren't building their own bridge, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. In other words, a low life. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Two more bricks for the bridge. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast in contrition and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, if Jesus would have asked us to build the bridge for ourselves, we would have jumped at the chance. Because we would like to be able to say, "You see that bridge over there? I built that. That's the Mike Harriman Memorial Bridge to Heaven. Do you see that other bridge over there? A good bridge, but not a great bridge." Jesus said, "There's only one bridge. I'm the bridge." Let's bow our heads. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with all who believe today and forevermore. Amen.